Hey there, I am Heidi Powell, and you have made it to Heidi's Lane. I am a mom of four beautiful kids, a health enthusiast, and an entrepreneur who, just like everybody else, is learning to navigate the joys, the grief, the love, the messes, and everything in between on this beautiful highway we call life. Now, nothing is off the table here in my lane, so I invite you to cozy up, grab a cup of coffee, join me right here on my couch for real, raw, vulnerable conversation that hopefully helps you learn and grow through this journey with me. I am so grateful you are here. Welcome to Heidi's Lane. Okay, so we're here, you guys. For those of you watching, you can see what's happening.
Yeah.
And you actually got a little bonus clip of us getting the IV put into my arm. And for those of you listening, I'm here with Drew Manning. You guys know Drew by now.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
I'm so excited that you're back.
I know. It's always good to be back.
We have needles in our arms.
Yeah.
We have a catheter in our arm. Not our urethra.
I thought she put in my arm.
I did not even know that that's how IVs worked until like a handful of years ago.
Yeah.
So it's a needle.
To poke.
That pokes through the
skin. Catheter.
So the catheter pops in when the needle, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a needle with like a catheter around it or in it, and then the needle pulled out.
Yeah. See, we don't know these things.
So a catheter, it's like there's a hose in our veins right now. And it's, so I'm doing, why are we doing this?
Well, you're the one who scheduled like, this for me. I'm like, I was told to show up and for an IV, pick an IV, which one you want. I like doing IV therapy. It is a great way to replenish your body with certain, you know, vitamins or minerals that you're lacking. Or if you're going through, you know, you said you're trying to get rid of a virus, for example, there's all different types of applications for IVs. And it's a, you know, it's a biohacking thing. It's pretty mainstream nowadays and it's accessible. Like this is a mobile, you know,
operation
that comes to mobile your house. Yeah, they come to your house and they do it for you. That's so nice and convenient. I mean, how cool is that? Instead of going into a doctor's office and sitting there and
That's the thing.
We're podcasting
while
we're getting IV.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like I knew that I had, so here's the deal.
What's the deal?
I knew that I had to get an IV. Well, let me just explain why.
Yeah.
Through all this health testing that I've been getting done to figure out what's going on in my body.
Yeah, what's going on with your body?
I don't think that there's any cancer. We're actually doing a biopsy on Tuesday, finally. I mean, I've been in now. This will be my third attempt for a biopsy. And this guy thinks he can get it. But my lymph nodes are so wrapped in vessels, so tightly wrapped, that it's a risk, right? To go in with a needle and try and get something out. So third attempt is Tuesday.
Okay.
Just to rule out cancer for sure, like lymphoma, because there's one lymph node for certain that just won't go down. And then the rest of them continue to pop up and like get inflamed very easily. So my body's not detoxifying on its own. That is, we know that. So like, for example, in this IV, I'm doing extra glutathione. I take extra glutathione during the day because that's like a master detoxifier. I'm taking this thing called DIM. Have you heard of DIM? Which is supposed to help your body convert estrogen properly. It gets rid of the bad estrogen or helps convert the potentially dangerous estrogen into a good conversion process and then helps increase your estradiol, which is like the healthy estrogen. So I'm just in until we figure out what's happening, I'm detoxifying
got it.
We also did find out that like I have Epstein-Barr. I think I've talked about it on the podcast. Yeah. I knew that I had it a few years ago. So obviously I have the antibodies or whatever, but I was in a full bout of it like a month and a half ago. And that's good for me because I'm like, okay, that means that there's a reason why my body lymph nodes are swollen. And so this, my doctor, one of my many doctors, is like, okay, we're going to do a high dose of vitamin C with glutathione every week for a handful of weeks.
To help. So you do this every week?
I have been.
Wow.
I have been. This is supposed to be my last one.
Okay.
And so it was scheduled and you're in town.
Yeah.
Because tonight, what are we doing tonight?
Ooh, I'm super excited for this. We are doing breath work plus cold plunge plus sauna in a healing environment at a place called Reconnect in Mesa, which you introduced me to. And we went there yesterday.
It's amazing.
And it was a really cool experience. And I'm excited for people because we have like 20-ish people coming each night
We're a little oversold each night.
Well, it sold out so quickly. Yeah. That's you barely posted it to your stories, and we had, you know, like within a couple of days,
yeah,
it was sold out.
Yeah.
So I think people are really interested in these healing modalities of breath work plus cold plunge plus sauna to help them on their journey, because we all go through hard stuff in life.
Yeah.
And I think having tools or modalities to help people deal with, you know, their traumas or challenges that they've been through that they've never experienced before. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of these people are coming every sound said they're nervous about the breath work.
And the cold plunge. Yeah. Yes,
they're nervous about it because it's the unknown. It's the fear of the unknown. But they've heard about, you know, breath work, or they've heard about the benefits of cold plunge. And it's really cool because people are open to trying something that's out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. And I'm sitting here because I had an IV planned for myself, my third one, and you're in town for this. And I'm like, I know I want to get a podcast in with you because there's so much we can talk about around what's happening tonight. That's what this episode is going to be, you guys. Like, we're going to dive into what we're doing tonight, how we found these modalities of healing, because they're so powerful for everybody and have completely changed my life.
Yeah.
And just educate. And so anyway, I was like, okay, I can do, I have Anna coming at 11:30. Drew, like, can you come over at 11:30 and do, you want to, let's do an IV and a podcast.
I think it's cool. I think it's way cool that we're doing IV and a podcast. This is my first experience.
Is it?
Yeah, doing both combined. So the
last week I did ketamine and a podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah.
While you're on ketamine?
No, that would have been amazing.
I was going to say.
I was in Utah. It's my,
able to function? You're just like passed out. Like,
no, but that actually would be very interesting. Maybe.
Do you think you could talk through it?
If we did a low dose, so I usually go 50, I think 50, whatever it is. I don't know if it's
gram. I got nauseous when I did it.
They give you a Zofran there.
They gave me something, but it didn't, this is so super embarrassing. Luckily, it wasn't on camera. But I was in the experience, and also I felt like after like 30, 40 minutes, I felt like this nauseousness come over me, and I felt like, oh, I'm going to puke.
No.
But I didn't have full function of my body yet.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it was weird. I was like, oh, shoot, like I'm going to throw up. And I was like trying to talk to my girlfriend at the time, like, help. And I was like, ugh. I couldn't really function or talk. But I think she could kind of tell, oh, he's going to throw up. And like, the doctor rushed in and like took the IV off. And I was just like,
did you end up throwing up?
No, but it was like dry heaving. And it was the weirdest experience. But
how long ago was that?
That was like, well, at least.
So I was trying to figure out which girl. Okay.
Yeah. So that's in Utah. So what, four?
That was four plus years ago.
4+ years ago.
Yeah.
4.5 years ago, maybe.
So did you only do it that one time?
I haven't done it since then.
Okay.
But I'm open to it. I just don't think. I don't know if I want to do the IV drip or like there's a bolus where you just totally pass out.
What?
Right? Like a high dose where you kind of like.
I don't like that.
Oh. Well, it is anesthesia. Like it is used for
surgery. Yeah.
So it does, you know, make you pass out if you give a large dose. But there's also like nasal sprays I've heard that are lower dose.
Really?
And it kind of gives you like a microdose. So I don't know. I'm open to trying.
Interesting. Yeah, I had done 3 treatments. That was my third one. Okay. And so we got the podcast.
After the ketamine.
No, I did it before. Oh. So Corey, I was introducing what it was.
Yeah.
And Corey, I'm like, that's really warm. Whatever you're touching me with, it's your hand. It's Anna's hand.
Hey, you beat me. Wow.
Am I done?
Oh.
Wow. My body's just.
Your body's like. Oh, sorry.
You're screwing this up, Drew.
So I'm so used to just flexing all the time. Like, oh, just relax my arm. Okay. There we go.
Yeah, I am going fast. That's really awesome.
Okay.
So anyway, this is the second time I've done a needle in my arm during the podcast. Yeah. Both healing. You know, one, like the ketamine is obviously super healing.
Yeah.
For me, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. This is a physical thing. I love that we're actually doing an IV drip for our physical health.
Yeah.
During a podcast that is about something for holistic health.
Yes.
Because I want everyone to hear first how you got into cold plunge breathwork. So just also you're a breathwork certified instructor. Talk about that.
Yeah. So I recently got certified through a company called Somatic Breathwork. And I was introduced to them. There's lots of different breathwork certifications that exist out there. And there's different methods of breathwork. I first learned about it learned more about it from a book called Breath. I recommend everyone read that by James Nestor. And it really opened up my eyes to the power of the breath. Yeah. And there it goes over all the different modalities. It talks about the ancient civilizations that have used breath as a, you know, healing tool. And I think ancient civilizations really valued the importance of breath and using that to heal your body. And us in our Western society are like, breath work, what does that mean? You breathe every day, you know, unconsciously, there's no benefits to it, but there really are. And once you experience it, so I had my first experience with breath work at Rhythmia in Costa Rica, where I did ayahuasca.
Wow.
And we did a 90-minute holotropic session.
Before ayahuasca.
Before ayahuasca. Okay. And that was a powerful experience where it definitely alters your state of mind. You're definitely in a psychedelic-like state. And people had all kinds of crazy experiences. For me, it was super peaceful and blissful. And
wow.
Like, you feel out of body, you feel elevated, you feel high, like a chemical-free mm-hmm. high, right? So that was my first experience. And then about, was like a year and a half ago, my daughter's orthodontist, who she had Invisalign, was talking to me about, hey, you should do Invisalign, not for aesthetically like getting your teeth straight, because I had a pretty good smile already, but he's like, it opens up your airways.
Really?
And you breathe more efficiently because it pushes the smile out so that your airways open up.
Wow.
Because in the book, and he's one who actually introduced me to the book, but Breath by James Nestor. He talks about how we've become mouth breathers over time.
Yeah.
Food has become softer. We don't use our jaw muscles to chew hard food like we used to. And so our jaw muscles are atrophying, which is causing us to, you know, have crowded mouths and like teeth issues. And that's why humans are evolving to, you know, their mouths are shrinking.
Well, and as we age, yes. It's like it narrows. I've noticed that about my mouth, like the sides do start to come in.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, well, is it worth it to look better? No, probably not. But I didn't realize that there was a whole breathing
thing. And so that's kind of the thing that sold me on doing Invisalign was that aspect. And so, and then also—
Can you breathe better?
That's hard to notice. I don't know if I notice I breathe better. Probably.
Yeah.
I would think I do. And he also talks about, what's it called? Mouth taping. Which, have you heard about that?
No.
So at nighttime, this is what you should try, especially since you breathe through your mouth, since we all know that now. And when you sleep, to tape your mouth shut during, as long as you're not congested, but as long as you can breathe through your nose, you do this like silicone tape to keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
So it forces your body to breathe through your nose, where you breathe more efficiently and effectively through your nose, more oxygen gets in. And, you know, we have these filtering systems in our nose, and we're supposed to breathe through our noses,
really?
Not our mouths. Yes. And when you become a mouth breather, that's what causes a lot of things like asthma, and it causes a lot of breathing issues for people. And because those filters through your mouth aren't there.
That's scary.
It is.
If you have sleep apnea, you probably shouldn't do it. Yeah.
100%. Definitely check with your doctor, or if you're congested, just make sure you can breathe efficiently through your nose already.
Yeah.
And my daughter started doing it because her friends are talking about it. It's becoming more of a thing. Yeah. She borrows some of my mouth tape. I don't do it every night because I feel like I've trained my body to breathe through my nose for the most part, but it's one of those things that I'm more conscious and aware of.
Wow.
Breathing through your nose, keeping your mouth shut.
Okay.
And breathing through your nose as much as you can.
That's awesome. So that's how you learned about it.
That's how I learned about it. Then I became certified through somatic
breath. Well, you and I had done before you got certified, which was awesome. When I was in Hawaii in July, which I didn't post hardly anything about. And I still look at the videos. I'm like, man, one of these days I need to do it.
Last night,
I need to do a throwback on Instagram, because it was the most amazing trip that my kids and I had. And we stayed at your house, and you took us everywhere on Kona, like everywhere.
Yeah.
And every morning, like my favorite thing, the thing that I remember all of the things, all of the parts of it, but every morning at, I don't even know what time, sunrise, you and I would head over across the street to the beach, this beautiful like pebbled beach. Oh, it was so pretty. And we would go sit on the lava rock and do breath work.
Wim Hof.
We would do breath work, Wim Hof breath work, and then we would do meditation.
Great way to start the day.
It was awesome.
Great way to start the day. When the sun rising, you're by the ocean, drinking your coffee, you have your breath work plus meditation. It was awesome way to start the day.
Yeah.
Very healing, right?
Yep.
And we've been through some hard times in our life, and we have found different tools or modalities that have helped us. You know, 20 years ago, we had a different tool set. We had different tools in our tool belt. Now that we are older and we've found these other modalities, that's kind of where we're doing this event, or why we're doing this, because we want to share this with people. Yeah. Because it is medicine. And we want to help other people experience the medicine because we've seen how impactful it's been for us in our lives. And, you know, we want other people to experience it as well.
Yeah, it really, you hit the nail on the head. You said 20 years ago, it was very different. And I can even just, as you say that, I can travel the journey in my head of what it was for me. So I remember years ago, it was like exercise. Yeah. All you need to do is exercise. Yeah, you need to, you know, lift and you can eat. Or as long as you eat fat-free or it was like snack wells or Red Vines because it's fat-free. Everything was fat-free, right?
Yeah.
But it was all about exercise. And then we learned, okay, it's not just exercise. It's not running. It's not even cardio, right? It's like you need to lift for your bones, for all of the different things, right? And it's nutrition. So then the saying became, hey, doesn't matter. You can't outrun a bad diet. And that's still true, right? Yeah. You can't outrun a bad diet. But then it was like nutrition is 90%. So nutrition became so important.
Yes.
And then it was like, okay, wait, your sleep. So then sleep suddenly became important. And then after that, it was like therapy and your mind, which was very important. And then to me, I didn't even understand this realm, which is, I'm going to call it a spiritual realm for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you tap into or you experience things that tap into that spiritual realm, which for me is breath work, cold plunge, and even sauna, just hot cold therapy and like a biocharger and red light therapy. Yes, they're all things that do positively impact the body.
Yeah.
Like there are studies that show how wonderful they are for the body. But then it takes it a step further. It's like I can categorize my experience with like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing improvement in my body. And also my heart and my mind are so opened because of these things. And that chemical-free high that you talk about is so real. That's not why I do it, but it's a beautiful thing where you can see the power of using your breath and nurturing your body with these things can create euphoria that I believe God or whatever you believe in intended us to feel because it's so natural. And then to take it a step further, like past mental, emotional is a very spiritual component for me.
Yeah.
And I like, for me this last year, I mean, you know, obviously with Dave passing away, there are sometimes when I say that where I'm like, I got to stop saying it, but it's still just a part of my healing journey. And it's 100%. Something that is, I need to stop having shame for saying when Dave passed away, he did, he passed away. My best friend died, you know? And that's like, it was very hard for me and very traumatic. And also I feel like this was brought into my life. Like the universe was like, okay, let me show you a method of healing, through connecting with yourself.
Yeah.
Like I think I was physically aware before, but I was not spiritually aware. Yeah. You know, I wasn't in touch with who I was. I don't think I knew completely who I was. It took that happening and me finding this. And even, you know, like my spiritual journey and with God and all of it, I think this was the thing for me that had me realize that it doesn't even matter which church I sit in. It doesn't. Yeah. I can go to any church.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how powerful the word is that's being spoken. If I don't know how to tap into and connect with myself, if I don't know how to open up and become a channel for God or the universe, I'm not going to hear anything.
Yeah.
But the second I can actually calm my mind and my soul and my spirit and get in touch with me, right? Then it's like I become a catcher's mitt for everything. Like I can catch any word and all of the gold and I can see all of the beauty that the world has to offer. But none of it matters. Like none of the diet, none of the exercise, none of the powerful motivational talks, none of it matters. None of the books that I read, if I am not in touch with me.
Yeah.
And that's what this does for me.
Yeah.
It puts me in touch with me.
And I think that's kind of what we're trying to tap into or help people realize is that there's like this higher version of you, the best version of you that you can possibly imagine, that like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And some people can kind of envision that. Like what would the highest version of me want to, like, how do I want to show up in this world? Like as a mom, as a dad, you know, as an employee, as a business owner, as a spouse, whatever it is, how do I want to show up? Like, how do I treat myself? Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and you and having that kind of as like your North Star of like, okay, I'm aiming for this thing. You're not going to be perfect all the time. Yeah. You're going to be human, but you're like, okay, physically, I want to show up for myself by taking care of my nutrition, my sleep, movement or exercise. And that looks this way for me. And then maybe, you know, mentally and emotionally, it's like, all right, therapy, you know, cold plunge, breath work, like to help me deal with, you know, the stresses of life. Yeah. And I think that's what it comes down to is breath work, in my opinion, helps people learn how to self-regulate so that they aren't overwhelmed and stressed out all the time. Because when you're in that sympathetic state where your fight or flight is activated all the time, your cortisol is elevated, it's hard to be your best self. It's hard to be the best mom or dad when you're triggered.
It's easy to react.
You're reactive all the time. Yeah. And when you're reactive, you kind of rely on your subconscious programming, which is your autopilot, which is how you've been programmed either from your parents and how they raised you and the culture and religion and environment you grew up in has shaped you a certain way. And if you just go off that, that's like your autopilot, which, let's be honest, isn't probably your best self. Yeah.
No.
Right?
No.
But when you tap into your conscious mind and you're able to tap into your higher self and you can self-regulate, you're not coming from a place of overwhelm or being triggered or being reactive, you can thoughtfully respond to the situation. So if your kid spills milk, instead of the reaction of like, what's wrong with you? Pay attention. Why are you doing that? Like, I've done that before where I've shamed my daughters for accidents.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's because that's what I've been programmed to do. And like, when you take a step back and observe and like, why am I doing that? Oh, I'm stressed out because of finances, lack of sleep. My life isn't going the way I want it to. And I showed up in that situation, not my best self. Yeah. So what I'm trying to do is teach people, like with the breath work, is to learn in those moments to push pause, come back to the breath, and learn how to create space between stimulus and your response. Mm-hmm. And the more space you can create between stimulus and response, the more power you have to choose as your highest self.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're ultimately doing, is teaching people like, hey, all of this is within you. It's not some drug that you take or some pill that you take. It's all within you.
Yeah.
Learning how to come back to that higher version of you. And that's kind of what breath work can do, is like clear your mind, get out of the subconscious autopilot programming and get back into the conscious mind of like, okay, this is my higher self. I can tap into this whenever I want to. And once they experience that, they're like, oh, this exists within me.
I love, you know what I'm saying? I agree. I do. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
When I learned about breath work, I actually had not done a breath work class until after Dave passed, within this past year. Oh, and when I did a class, first I did YouTube. So I love that Wim Hof beginner's guide. Just search Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F-F, beginner's breath work. And it pulls up a really awesome 12-minute video, I think. Yeah. I did that with the biocharger the first few times, and that changed me.
Yeah.
That was actually super impactful to me. Like, I remember actually leaving the first handful of times, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, if more people had access to this. Now, I was doing it in conjunction with
cold plunge
and sauna and red light therapy. And that, it really is so powerful when you combine all of those things.
Yeah.
But then actually doing a class for my first time, an hour long class, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And opened up a whole different realm of knowing and experiencing with breath work. That, like, truly going in with an intention, which I highly recommend every super session important. You do. Yes. Always do an intention, because you're going to be drawn to what's in the forefront of your brain, in my opinion, and my experience. And if it's stress and all the things of the world that are on your brain, I think you're going to have a hard time breaking free of that. But if you have an intention to draw closer to, say, your highest self, you actually do inside of that. And, but the first handful of times I had visions, I'm not kidding. When I would do breath work, like, I would see things and it was like God or the universe is speaking to me and being like, hey, here's what you need to see today.
Yeah.
And I would just cry in the middle of a session, and I'd feel that euphoria toward the end, but it was more just the colors and the visuals, right? Yeah. And sometimes, like, when I say visual, it's something you're feeling that you feel like you can see because you're feeling it so much. Yeah. Does that make sense?
100%.
And so it is beautiful, and it is, it's a teacher for me. And I'm very excited that we get to introduce people to this for the first time.
Yeah. here's what I'll say about it is it's similar to a psychedelic experience without psychedelics.
And you're right.
Psychedelics is not for everyone. Some people are freaked out by it or scared to do a psychedelic. This is a natural way of doing it without taking anything in. And it's just all by changing your breathing patterns. And it alters your state of mind. And it, yes, some people can have visions and some people have downloads and epiphanies that change their life because they're finally tapping into this part of them that they didn't know existed. Yeah. And it's always there.
Yeah.
It's always within us. And that's why like their t-shirts yesterday at the place where it said, you are the cause, but it said, you are the cure.
I love
that. And we all have the cure within us. And that's why breathwork, I think, is a powerful medicine to give to people.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is available to you any time of the day you want to do it.
Anytime. Like it will take, no matter how agitated I am, I can put on a 5 to 10 minute breath work thing online. And here's the thing. If you can't get to a class, you guys, anyone listening that's like, I don't have access to it. If you have access to your phone, which has internet, you have access to breath work.
Yeah.
Just do a search on YouTube. You're going to find some really wonderful things. If you can find a class guided by someone who's good, it is a different level, but regardless, your breath is the magic. Someone might be guiding you on how to use it for a full hour, but your breath or you are truly the magic that makes it happen, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful. And that's why I think once, this is what I love about breathwork is like once someone experiences it, they're like, oh,
they're an advocate.
I see what you're saying now. Like, because so many people are nervous and anxious. Like, what's going to happen? Am I going to like, because some people see videos online. Let's be honest.
I was going to bring this up.
Some people see videos and people are like shaking and like some people are moving and like that's like,
sobbing. And
it allows emotions to move through you. So here's what happens. And this is why I think breathwork is so powerful. Society has taught us to suppress our emotions. And what we realize or what we know now is our emotions are stored in our physical bodies. Mm-hmm. There's a really good book called The Body Keeps the Score. Highly, highly recommend it to understand how our physical bodies hold, you know, these emotions within our physical bodies. And so breathwork is a way to allow these pent up, you know, suppressed emotions, like maybe from childhood that you've just anger or sadness or grief that you just, we've learned to suppress.
Yeah.
We've learned to push down, which
feel that. What is that, the glutathione?
What do you feel? Do you
almost
feel?
Like cold. My body feels lit up.
Whoa.
It does. Like she's pushing glutathione into my, like a I've little lightheaded. Does that happen?
Don't pass out.
I'm all.
Like,
I'm all, what is happening? Am I getting high right now?
Am I doing breath work?
Just talking about breath work, am I getting?
Yeah, we put some MDMA in there for you. But so we suppress, we've learned how to suppress our emotions really well. And I was really good. I think men as well are taught not to cry, to be a man, to like, you know what I'm saying? Like we suppress our emotions. And so they get stored in our bodies and they end up oozing out or manifesting at some point.
Yeah.
As much as you think those things, those emotions are stored deep down in there, they
or come gone. Out. They're not gone.
They're not gone.
No.
And here's what, I love this quote and I posted it the other day. If you don't heal what hurt you, because we've all been hurt, you're going to bleed on those who didn't cut you.
I love that.
And so what that means to me is all of us have been hurt.
Yeah.
And if you don't heal that hurt, you're going to take it out on people who didn't do the hurting to you. Your kids, your spouse, your relationships in your life. We all do that unknowingly because these emotions are stored in us and like something in this person triggers it and it comes out. So whether it's the way your dad treated you or your mom treated you and you've been hurt in some way, shape or form, you project it onto this person that has nothing to do with the initial cause of it. And this is why in breathwork, sometimes emotions, it's a safe space to release whatever emotion it is. And the somatic, soma is the Greek word for of the body. So It's a physical, but also emotional healing tool for people. It's an emotional healing through the physical body. So when people are moving and shaking, sometimes that's just their body's way of getting rid of this emotion or trauma. And a good example of this is if you go to YouTube and you type in gazelle, like shaking or something like that. Basically what happens in this video, this gazelle is being chased by this cheetah, and the cheetah chases it down and it's about to eat it. And the gazelle just freezes and its body is just frozen. And it, like, you're stuck in that fight or flight.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And then some hyenas come and the cheetah, like, you know, chases off the hyenas, and then the gazelle's left there. It's not dead. But then as for a while, you see the body just start to shake.
Yeah.
You see this gazelle start to shake its body and like get rid of the trauma that it just experienced. And you see it shake and move. And then finally it just comes back to baseline and it runs away.
Really?
But it's interesting how in the, you know, in the natural world, animals have this built-in mechanism to move through traumatic situations through the physical body.
Wow.
And so, yeah, if you look up the video, it's a really powerful video of how even in nature, animals will use their physical body to move through these emotions. And maybe you've seen videos or movies of people who've been through a traumatic experience where they're shaking uncontrollably because of some traumatic experience they just felt. And some people freeze, some people fight, some people flee, some people, that's why in the book, The Body Keeps the Score, he talks about the different responses to trauma. Okay. Someone could have the same trauma
and
one person's like, oh, I don't even remember. Like, their brain dissociates and like doesn't even remember the event. And another person, it relives it over and over again in their head.
Yep. Wow.
And so we all respond to trauma differently. So anyways, what I'm saying is this is why sometimes you'll see videos that scare people away of like people shaking or crying or screaming. And it's all just that person's, you know, physical body moving through those tough emotions. And then afterwards you feel so much lighter and
you
so
do,
much better
because
like emotions are released and then you're like, oh, I've been holding on to this.
I have to say too, I think it's important for people to know that you're not just going to start convulsing without wanting to get to a place where you're craving that healing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to allow your mind and your body to go there.
Yeah.
And I've actually never been in a room where people do that. And from what I understand it, you have to be breathing for a long period of time right before that happens. So do not let any of this scare you from diving in online, trying a class. You have control.
You're still
in
control.
You guys. You're not like on a substance. You're just breathing.
You're still in control, but there is something to say about surrendering. And I think that's a powerful word in this situation is, don't try and control what is. If you feel the emotion, let yourself feel
it.
Because like I said, we don't give ourselves permission ever to feel our emotions. Mm-hmm. This is maybe some people's first time allowing themselves to feel these feelings. I had a guy recently in Utah, a good friend of mine, I won't mention his name, but he cried like a baby uncontrollably. And he's like, I've never allowed myself to feel these feelings. And he finally did. And it was a powerful release for him. And just, it was so cool to see that. But it happens for so many people. And I don't want people to be afraid of that. It's just come into it with an open mind. And also, you're still in control. So I know some people still kind of like have this hard shell.
Yeah.
And they kind of push the emotions out. They're like, I don't want to cry in front of Drew. He might see me cry or whatever. Yeah. But then once you feel safe and comfortable, if those emotions come up, you can let them move through you. But I will say, not everyone's emotional. Not everyone gets emotional. For some people, it's just pure bliss and peace. And that's all that needs to be for that person at that time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's exactly what it needs to be. And I agree with the surrendering. I feel like breath work, it will crack you open if you allow it to. 100%. And the crack open needs to happen for healing to occur.
Yeah.
So true. And then the other thing I'm going to say, the only thing advice I'm going to give based on my experience is, don't judge your experience, because you're hearing us talking about some of our experiences or what other people's might be like. And you might be like, well, I didn't feel high. I didn't cry. I didn't anything. I just breathed. And I think that's exactly what that's supposed to be too. And I think the more, like with anything, right? Yeah. It's like exercise, you have to practice. Gratitude is a practice. Breath work is a practice.
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the more you'll get to know it. And the more you get to know it, the more you'll get to know your body, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was really cool. My 14-year-old daughter came to her first breathwork class with me.
Aww.
What's funny is she would never do breathwork with me. And I'm like, Kalia, come on, like, give it a try. She's like, no, I do. She started doing Wim Hof, like on YouTube.
Did?
She did the, And so I was like, oh, that's cool. But I didn't force it on her.
Yeah.
But I know it's beneficial, because she has anxiety and she struggles with that. And so I was like, hey, this could help. But she started doing it on her own. So I gave her a space. And then one of these days I was like, hey, she wanted to go to the gym with me in the morning. I'm like, hey, I have breathwork right after. So you have to come to breathwork with me. And she's like, okay, I'll go. And she did it. And she was like, I felt like I was high, Dad. It was so cool. She was like, it was like beautiful. And she loved it. And she's like, I got to get mom to do it. I got to get all these, like, my friends are going to come next time. It was so cute to see her, like,
that is really love cute. It. And it's,
yeah. I'm like, yeah, see, this actually really works. And I think what happens too is people's first experience on it is like, oh, wow, that was amazing. And then the next time they can relax into it a little bit more, ease into it and be like, oh, now I know what to expect now.
Totally.
And they can breathe deeper. Because that's the thing is you go as deep as you want to go. If you want to breathe deeper, your experience is going to be deeper. So learning how to breathe properly is also a really important part of breath work. Because a lot of us breathe very shallowly, like,
which I think there's some shame too. So in one of the classes that I do locally, I love how Jeremy says, breathe without shame. And the whole room, because the first time it was like, everyone's going, and you're like,
You don't want to be the loud one. You don't want to be the loud one.
But then, like, at some point, that encouragement from a leader or a guide saying, without shame, like, be you, let all of it out. Like, it's there, let it out.
Yeah.
I actually feel like for many people, it can help translate to feeling more empowered in real life and non-shameful for who you are. Feeling free to take up space, because that's essentially what you're doing in that class. You're breathing in.
And that's why I like when I've been in situations where other people are loud or breathing or crying or yelling or screaming. And that kind of, for me, who's, you know, nervous about that, it allows me to be like, oh, well, I could be loud without being louder than these people. And that,
for sure.
that way I kind of blend in. But I'm like, it felt good to just like scream. Like, well, how often do you scream
yell?
I don't. Because I don't ever allow myself to get there.
Are you going to guide people to scream tonight? I don't know.
No, only if they want to. Like, I don't push people like super hard with this, because every practitioner is different.
Yeah.
I will say this, like it's like going to therapy. Every therapist is going to be different. Yeah. You might vibe with it. My approach is to make it digestible for people.
Okay.
And if I make it too woo-woo or too weird or too far out there, I don't want to scare people
alienate
away.
People
and that's kind of my approach, and that's kind of who I am as I show up online to help people feel safe and
like comfortable. You belong
100%. I don't want to be like, hey, you have to be like this in order for it to work, but maybe push people 10% out of their comfort zone.
I like
and
that.
Then maybe next time 10% more.
Okay.
You know? And then like yesterday you did the coldest cold punch.
I did.
And normally you're like, I usually go for the comfortable.
I do. Punch. The 46 or the 30, even the 33 degrees, that's like 35 on top.
Yeah.
But there's something about that full 30.
You were scared, I could tell.
I was terrified. She was scared. I plunge every single day. So for me to go in and like do, I have a trust issue with my body. And sometimes that happens during breath work too. Like I have to focus on trusting that my body is not only equipped to handle this, but that it is improved by going through this, right? But it is a scary thing because it's discomfort. So to anyone who's listening, like, oh my gosh, I'm scared, I am too. And also, it's something that is here, I believe, to optimize our bodies. And I can't wait to explain it or to show it to everybody.
I love seeing people's experience before and after and just hearing like what they learned and what they felt. I mean, but like you said, not everyone's is positive and amazing. I've had some people have hard experiences on it, and it is what it's supposed to be for you.
Yeah.
And not every time is going to be the same. So going into it with an open mind, I think, is super important. Yep. Setting intention is super important. And then like not judging it, not judging like, oh, like, because sometimes, the judging mind will be like, oh, this person's breathing loud. Or like, what did Drew say? Why did he say
or
that?
I will go into, wait, am I even doing this right? Or am like, I feeling am what I'm supposed to feel?
Yes. Yeah. And you judge the experience.
You do.
So like, this is why I'm a big fan of meditation too, because instead of becoming your thoughts or chasing your thoughts, because people say you are what you think. I don't really necessarily believe that's true. You are what you entertain. Like if you entertain your thoughts and like chase after them and become them, you can choose to do that, or you can just be the observer of your thoughts. And if you can learn to be the observer of your thoughts, then those thoughts come and go like clouds in the sky, and you get to choose what you attach yourself to. So I don't really necessarily believe you are what you think, especially if you learn how to become the observer, which is an art over time to be like, oh, I have these weird thoughts, instead of chasing them and be like, I am that weird thing.
You acknowledge them.
You just acknowledge those thoughts and be like, that's not me. That's not for me.
It's not what I choose. I don't choose that.
So go to the side and then this is where I want to focus. But the thoughts are going to come and go, and learning how to become the observer is an art and super important on anyone's journey to becoming the best version of themselves, because you're going to have moments where parts of you are going to be thinking thoughts of like, oh, I want the cake and ice cream. I want the alcohol or the drugs to escape. And you get to choose, like, to as an observer, okay, do I want to go down that path?
Yeah.
Or do I want to thoughtfully respond and choose like the path that's best for my highest self?
Yeah. What is the final thing, Drew, that you feel like the people listening need to hear?
I think at the end of the day, it's my hope for everyone listening is that you realize your worthiness, your worth, showing up for yourself every single day, whether it's breath work, whether it's meditation, whether it's exercise, whether it's eating healthy food, instead of seeing those things as a chore or punishment of something you have to do in hopes to become this version of you. And if you don't become that version, then you're not successful. Realizing that you're worthy to show up for yourself, whatever that looks like for you that day. And it's going to be different every day, but realizing that your worth is in the showing up. It's not in the becoming of like the results. Mm-hmm. It's showing up to do the process. And once you start to realize your self-worth, you want to show up for yourself. You're like, oh, it feels good to take care of my sleep. It feels good to take care of my physical health and my mental health. And I deserve that because my kids deserve that and my spouse deserves that. And I'm going to do my best every day to show up for myself because like my inner child deserves that too.
I love it. Yeah.
So that's so what I want to say.
So good. I think the final thing I'm going to say, that. I want to challenge everyone today. Mm. I want everyone listening to try for a minute to set aside what your preconceived ideas of breath work is, what those ideas are, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's not for me.
True.
I think if there's stress in your life, if there's a block, I believe that breath work or meditation, probably a combo of both, could really benefit you. And this is not for my good. I don't get anything by you going in a room and pulling up a video on YouTube. This is because I know how much it's changed my life and so many others' lives. But we have to allow ourselves freedom to try new things. Yeah. So I think my challenge to you is going to be, try something, whether it's breath work or a 5-minute meditation, that is outside of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. If you've done breath work online, maybe try and find a class, right? Or do it with somebody, whatever it is. Yeah. But try something that pushes you outside of your comfort zone and allows you to experience something new. Because I do think often that like we only have one body, one life that we know of. I can't imagine now, knowing the things that I know about breath work and meditation and cold plunge and sauna, I cannot imagine going my whole life without at least feeling once what it feels like. Yeah. And I believe that when you feel it, you'll want more of it and you'll realize it's completely it's free. True. It's not a medication you take that hurts your liver. It's not, it's nothing, right? It's free. You own, it is inside of you and available to you at any moment. Yeah. So my challenge is to just give it a try.
Yeah. And come to our next event.
Yes. Come to our next event. Yes.
We'll let you guys know when that is.
Yeah, we will.
Or maybe we're just nationwide DM us. Tour.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? That would be so cool.
People would love that.
All right, guys.
Okay. Much love.
Everybody, thank you for listening. Drew, thank you for being here.
Of course.
Again.
I love it.
Let's go get ready for our event.
Let's do it.
Okay.
See you
Love you guys.
Aloha.
Thanks for joining me on Heidi's Lane as we navigate this amazing and often humbling highway of life together. As always, it's been such a joy to have you here with me, and I hope that through our conversation today, you found at least one gold nugget or one thing that resonates with you that you can use in your life to help you live a life you love, because each day truly is a gift. I appreciate you being here. I see you. I hear you. I love you. Until next time, I am Heidi.